This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want us to take our copy of God's Word. Many of you are at home, many of you are in here, but I want you to take your copy of God's Word and stand. You can stand even if you're home if you'd like. But we're going to look at Proverbs 18 and 10, and then Genesis 22, verse 14. Proverbs 18 and 10 says this. It says, "The name of the Lord," I want you to get that down, folks. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it, and they're safe." Now, we're living in a time of a lot of fear, amen? We're living in a time, but look. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe." They're safe. Now I want you to see what Genesis says. Genesis 22 and 14 says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh." Keep in mind, the name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. "As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen." I want to talk to you about the name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. The name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. There's an image that, folks, this image goes back 20 years almost. But there's an image that I've never been able to get out of my mind from September the 11th. It's the image of one of those towers collapsing and people running away. People were frantic. You can look at their faces. You can look at the shock. You can look at the fear. You can literally just see the anxiety in their faces. And that image, that picture, that reminds me of so what I see today. I see it. I see a look of fear in people's faces. I see a look of uncertainty in people's faces. And certainly they had that as they were running from the tower. But I want you to see something, folks. Proverbs says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And here's what I want you to understand. Whatever tower in your life collapses, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If it's an emotional, if it's a financial, if it's a relational, if it's a spiritual, if it's an occupational, whatever tower collapses in your life, I want to say with affirmation, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the Bible says the righteous can run under this tower. We can run to this tower and we shall be safe. Now get this. It says the name of the Lord. The name used for God more than any other name in the Bible is the Hebrew name Yahweh. It's used 6,823 times. It means the self-existing one, Yahweh. But keep in mind, the Bible translated to an English word is Jehovah. Jehovah. The name of God is Jehovah. And God has compound names. Many names are used to describe God. But one of the names, according to Genesis, is Jehovah Jireh. What does it mean, Pastor? It means the God who provides. The Lord who provides. But wait, please don't stop there. Because it says, Jehovah Jireh, as it has been said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh not only means that God provides, but it means that God sees in the future. and he sees the provision you're going to need in the future. And when you get to that point, God's going to provide the provision. You say, I don't know what's going to happen in 2 years. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen in 2 years, because God sees ahead, because he is Jehovah Jireh. And when you get to that point, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to have the provision that you need in your life. There's an old preacher named Vance Havner. Vance Havner said these words. He said, all my days I've been aware of one going before me and with me, and of doors ajar that I could never have opened. That all my days, God's had doors ajar that I never could have opened. I want you to see that he's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that sees ahead, and he's got provision for you when you get there. Now understand, we live in a lot of uncertainty. I read this week, now listen closely to what I'm going to say. 43% of Americans have either lost jobs or lost wages. 43% of them, now I didn't say unemployment rate was at 43%, but the stats said that 43% of Americans have either lost jobs or lost wages. But I want you to know, even in the middle of that, he's Jehovah Jireh. Even in the middle of that, he's Jehovah Jireh. Even in the middle of that, Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God would bankrupt heaven if it took that to meet your need. Where God guides, he provides. And where God leads, he succeeds. I love what Elizabeth Elliot said. God has promised to supply our needs. What we don't have now, we don't need now. God has promised to supply our needs. What we don't have now, we don't need now. Now I want you to understand something. This right here, this is God. This is the blessing of God. Right here, listen to me closely. This is the needs in our lives. But God said, I'll supply all your need. But Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, wait, by Christ Jesus. God's going to supply your need. He's going to meet your need. But the funnel is Jesus Christ. God said, I'm going to supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God said, I'm going to supply all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you've got to understand something. It's by Christ Jesus. It's through Christ Jesus. But here's what happens. This is a cork. Most of you know what it is. This is a cork. And if you take a cork and you put the cork in the funnel, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Wait. My need. No,
There's a cork in the funnel. There's a cork in the funnel. He's Jehovah Jireh, and he wants to supply your need. But you've got to make sure there's not a cork in the funnel. Now, I'm preaching better than you're responding. But we got to make sure there's not a cork in the funnel. So what I want to do, I want to take just a little while, and I want to talk to you about some corks in the funnel. Because God wants to meet your need, but he wants to make sure there's not corks in the funnel. Now, the first cork in the funnel is disobedience. Disobedience. Now, God wants to meet your need. But the Bible says in Isaiah 1 and 19, if you be willing, wait, and obedient, you'll eat of the good of the land. You'll eat of the good of the land. God said, you'll experience the blessing, but you got to make sure there's not a cork. And disobedience is a cork. In biblical times, in the days of Elijah, the Bible says there was a drought. And folks, when you have a drought, your plants won't get the water they need. I've got plants right now. I've got cucumbers planted. I've got tomatoes planted. I've got squash planted. I've got zucchini planted. And don't you all tell the homeowners association. But here's what I know. I've got to keep it watered. Because see, when there's a drought, it causes a famine. And there was a famine in Israel. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, God said to Elijah, look this. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. And he said, Elijah, you go down to the brook of Cherith. Go down to the brook of Cherith and hide yourself down there. Down there by Jordan. Look what verse 3 says. Go down there. Verse 4 says, and it shall be, you're going to drink of that brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Now wait, God's got a place of purpose. God's got a place of power. God's got a place of provision. But it was connected with Elijah obeying God. And when the brook dried up, God said, Elijah, go down to Zarephath. In verse 7 through 9, I've got a widow down there. She's going to sustain you. But understand something. He is Jehovah Jireh, but he was tied to Elijah obeying God. And the blessing of God is always going to be tied to whether or not we are obedient. There was a large ship one night that was out, and it was very foggy. And that large ship saw some lights in the distance, and they radioed and said, change your course 10 degrees east. And they radioed back and said, no, you change your course 10 degrees west. And the captain was angry, and he said, I'm a captain of 35 years. Change your course 10 degrees. They radioed back and said, I'm a seaman fourth class. Change your course 10 degrees. And the captain was very upset by that time. And he said, I'm a 50,000 ton freighter. Change your course. And they radioed back and said, I'm a lighthouse. Change your course. Here's what I want you to understand. Dr. Stanley was correct. Dr. Stanley said, you obey God and leave all the consequences to him. You obey God and leave all the consequences to him. I want to encourage you, folks, a cork
is when we're disobedient. In whatever area of your life that you're disobedient in, God can't bless you. God said, let me tell you something. I really want to bless them. I really want to bless them. But they've got a cork of disobedience. And I really can't bless them because of that cork of disobedience. And you know what the cork of disobedience in your life is. But let me tell you, he's Jehovah Jireh, but there's a second cork. It's a cork of unoffered prayers. I love what F.B. Meyer said. F.B. Meyer said, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. James 4:2 said, you have not because you ask not. God said, you don't ask. And it's a cork. I want you to ask, but you don't ask. And it's a cork. I remember when Savannah Abigail was a little old red-haired girl, had that little old red curly hair, had daddy right around her finger. Some things never change, amen? Just had daddy around her finger. And I'd work, and I'd come in from work, Barbara. She'd come up, she'd, dad, dad, I love you. Oh, God. Dad, dad, I love you. I mean, we lived at Walmart. Dad, dad. And she said, dad, dad, we go get pizza. Yeah. I'd say, yeah, yeah. And then I'd say, did your mama put you up to that? She said, yeah. But you know what Barbara knew? What probably Barbara still knows. He has a hard time saying no to that girl. Has a hard time. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Matthew 7:11, get this. If ye then being evil, he said, Benny Tate's evil. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more should your Father in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Folks, I'm just telling you, hey, get the cork out. Ask God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. Ask him. Let me tell you a third cork. It's unforgiveness. It's unforgiveness. It's going to get quiet on this point. And I never thought about it till this week as I was preparing this message. There was a man in the Bible. His name was Job. Let's read about him. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. Look, he was the richest person in the entire area. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they were paupers compared to this guy. He had everything. If you'd ask this guy, do you have change for 100? He would have said 100 is change. He had all kind of money. But you know what happened, folks? He lost it all. He lost it all. And he had these friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Now look, for a week they came and they didn't say nothing. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, Pastor, when somebody has a hard time, I don't really know what to say. Many times the best thing you can do is say nothing. The best thing you can do is just be there for them. Just your presence. You don't need to walk in. If somebody's had a tremendous loss, you don't need to walk in and say, well, all things work together for them that love God. They're not ready to hear that at this time. The best thing you can do is just be there. But after about a week, they started talking. That's when they got in trouble. They said, Job, it's obvious you've got sin in your life. It's obvious you've disobeyed God. God's punishing you. Folks, there's nothing biblical about when people are going through a hard time that God's punishing them. Somebody said, God sent Corona to punish us. I've got a Greek word for that, hogwash. God didn't send Corona, the enemy did.
But God's going to take what the enemy meant for bad, and he's going to use it for good. And it hurt Job. I'm sure Job just wanted to slap him in Jesus' name. But look here, folks. It took a while. And by the way, let me just say something. When you've been hurt deeply, sometimes it takes a while to get past it. If you've experienced great loss, don't you feel less than because you didn't just bounce back immediately. Sometimes it takes a while. But a lot of time passed, and look what the Bible says. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now look, when he got to the point he could forgive those guys and pray for those guys, he pulled that cork out. He pulled that cork out. Let me tell you what happened in my life. There was somebody one time that hurt me deeply. And I said to Barbara, "Barbara, I've moved on past that. I've forgiven them. I've forgiven." She said, "Benny, if you've forgiven, how come every time their name is brought up, your countenance changes?" I knew I hadn't forgiven. But let me tell you something. Also knew it was a cork in my life. And Jehovah Jireh couldn't bless me like he really wanted to till I let it go. You've got to let go and let God. You've got to let go and let God. Let me tell you another cork, and I've got to move. Cork number four is an ungiving spirit. An ungiving spirit. Think about what the Bible says in Luke 6 and 38. "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." In John chapter 6, there's a story of a little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And God multiplied it. And that 5 loaves and 2 fishes, get this, folks, it fed 15,000 people. You say, no, Pastor, the Bible says there were just 5 there. You think about it. If they were 5,000 men, they were some women around somewhere. And there were some children around. So you had 15,000 people. And God took 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and fed 15,000 people. But you got to understand something. That little lad had to give the loaves. And that little lad had to give the fishes. God said, "Sometimes I want to get the blessing to you, but I can't get it through you. I want to get the blessing to you, but I can't get it through you because you've got a cork there." Listen to me, folks, very closely. In March, when Corona started, Barbara and I sat down. We said, "You know what we need to do? We may not be able to open the church. People may not be able to come. We may not be able to have service. I've got a staff of people. I've got pastors that work with me. I've got people that depend on Rock Springs Church for their job. I've got a big responsibility." I said, "Barbara, you know what we need to do immediately?" She said, "What do you think?" I said, "We need to increase our giving. We need to increase our giving right now. We need to start before all this hits. We need to increase our giving through this entire process." Because here's why I said that. Folks, I'm not living on your giving. I'm living on my giving. And I want you to understand, give and it shall be given to you. You've got to realize the hospital's not your source. Delta's not your source. The bank is not your source. God is your source. God said, "I want to get it to you, but I can't get it through you." I don't care. care, folks. I'm preaching the truth. He said, I want to be Jehovah Jireh. I want to bless you. Let me tell you, if you didn't enjoy that point, you sure won't enjoy this one. There's another cork. It's called laziness and waste. Now wait. Jesus takes the 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Everybody has fish and chips. They've got the tartar sauce. They've got that vinegar stuff that you put on the fish. It's good for you. Pour that vinegar stuff. You said the Bible don't say they had that. Didn't say they didn't, smart aleck. They poured that vinegar stuff on that fish. Everybody had it. And then the Bible says this in verse 12. And when they were filled, oh gosh. Man, they said, I'm about to bust. Man, Thomas said, that's great. Peter said, that was delicious. Bartholomew said, man, Thomas, you think we'll ever eat like that again? Thomas said, I doubt it. But anyway, it's a great meal. They were filled. And he said to his disciples, you guys sit right here on your blessed assurance. I'm going to go out here and gather up the fragments that remain. No, no. He said, guys, you gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. You get up. Hey, you know what you need to teach your children? If you want to rise to the top, get off your bottom. My mother wasn't a theologian, but Mabel Jean said, Benny, if you want your pockets to jingle, you got to shake a leg. See, folks, let me tell you something. Laziness is a cork. Laziness is a cork. There won't anything work in your life until you do. And something's wrong with a country who takes money from a man who will work and gives it to a man who won't work. You say, Pastor, you're too hard. The Bible says that if any would not work, neither should he eat. How can you be any different from what God's Word teaches? Now, wait. He said, guys, first of all, you get up and look. And then verse 13 says, go out there and get 12 baskets. Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. How many disciples were they? 12. Each one of them had a basket, and nothing went to waste. I can prove to you from God's Word that waste and laziness go hand in hand. You say, you got to be kidding. Proverbs 18 and 9. He that is lazy, slothful in his work, is a brother to him that is of a great waster. Let me give you the last point. The last point, I'm done. I'm almost done, I promise. I'm almost finished. The last cork is ingratitude. You know, think about this. Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he fed an army, long story short. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something. The Bible says before he took it, he gave thanks. Wait. It was not enough food to feed an army when he thanked God for it. It was not enough food to feed an army when he thanked God for it. Here's what I want you to see. Folks, you want more? Thank God for what you have. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, let's focus on how good God's been to us. Let's focus on how incredibly good He's been to us. Let's thank Him for all of His blessings. Let's thank Him for watching over us and taking care of us and giving us healthy children and giving us good lives and giving us a bed to lie down in and giving us a roof over our head. Let's thank Him for the food. Let's thank Him for watching over us. Let's thank Him for all of His goodness. Years ago, I was with Truett Cathy. We were at one of Truett's orphanages. It's a good-looking tie, Truett. We were at one of his orphanages, and a little boy ran up, and he grabbed Truett around the legs, this godly man. And he said, "Papa, Papa, Papa." And I said, "Mr. Truett, you started all these orphanages. Do all of them call you Papa?" He said, "No, but those who do get more." Let me tell you something, folks. There's something about thanking God for what you have. There's something about just thanking Him for what you have. Hey, there's something about just thanking Him that I don't have to come to church. I get to come to the house of God. There's something about just thanking God. I want you to see something. I'm done. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and I'm done. Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. She came to Elijah. She said, "Elijah, my husband's dead. And you know he's a good man. He feared the Lord. But look, Elijah, the creditors have come to take my boys as slaves. I can't pay. Look." And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in your house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid have not anything," wait, "save a pot of oil." He said, "Listen, don't you focus on what you don't have. You focus on that pot of oil. God used that pot of oil to meet her every need, if you read the story. And what God's saying to us, don't you focus on what you don't have. You be grateful for what you do have. Because when you're not grateful for what you do have, it's a cork in your life. You say, "Pastor Benny, I really need the Lord to bless me." Well, why don't we, folks, get down on our knees and thank Him for what we've got? Why don't we get down on our knees and thank Him for what we've got? Because He is Jehovah Jireh. And the name of the Lord, it's a strong tower. Oh, can we just stand and praise the Lord, folks? Can we just stand and praise the Lord? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry. I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.